Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, September 26, 2016. With me today, Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I am Dave.
And it's really great to have you here, Dave.
My pleasure.
Well played. Nice.
Well played. That. Indeed. All right. Well, you know, as long as we're here and we've established who Dave is, this is, I think, going to be kind of like a clarification episode. And I think we should start with the whole thing with PDF and macOS Sierra and what we know now. And the quick background is last week word surfaced that if you are using Fujitsu's ScanSnap scanners and software, that there's a possibility that PDFs that you have created but now open in Sierra will lose all the content, all their content. And you know, that's kind of a big problem for some people and is reason enough to not upgrade to Sierra for some people. But now we have a little bit more information. And Brian, you were kind of poking around into that, right?
Sure. Yeah. ScanSnap, they said they basically released they've been investigating this. You know, they called this their highest priority. I don't think that was just marketing speak. I don't know. I'm not there in their offices. I'm not really seeing what they're doing. But I believe that the Mac market is important to this company. They certainly have paid attention to us for the last several years. So they said that they've been investigating this and that they found four specific points. One is that PDF scans made in black and white format that are modified in Sierra may be unexpectedly converted into color. You know, all right, whatever. This is going to make it bigger. The big one was that black and white scanning is. Now, you know what? Let me actually back up. The real problem is that they found that some documents, when you open them, are going to have irreversible data loss. The other points are actually fairly minor, more like bugs. But the big one is that some PDF documents will just be gone.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yes, that's a big problem. And so, like I said, they say that they're still working on it. And they said that the problem is with the PDF rendering engine in Sierra. They haven't blamed Apple. They haven't taken responsibility for the problem either. So, like, I'm personally still not sure if the issue is that they're hooking into the engine wrong, or the engine is doing something different that is somehow wrong. It's kind of hard to understand. We talked about this, I think, a little bit last week. It's kind of hard to understand why this didn't come up, you know,
in beta testing.
Right. Yeah. You'd think a problem like this would show up right away when one of their own developers opens a PDF and it's like, oh, holy crap, the data's gone.
Yeah. Or, you know, like users complaining about stuff too.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because we have this whole vague thing there about where the problem is. So, like you said, it could be a problem with Sierra, the way it actually is rendering the PDF, or it could be a problem with the way Fujitsu is hooking into Apple's rendering engine.
Right.
But if they're blaming the rendering engine, and I want to be careful, you know, Fujitsu is saying that the problem is a change in the rendering engine. Obviously, they're still working to do what they can to fix the symptoms of this. But if the problem's in the rendering engine, what do we have to worry about with other apps?
Right. And we haven't had any reports yet of other apps. We've reached out to some people. Jeff, you've reached out to some of the PDF related to companies in the Mac world. And
right. And yeah. And when we have answers, of course, we're going to share them.
I've used PDF Pen Pro a couple of times since I installed Sierra to sign documents and do things like that, and I have not had any issues with it. That doesn't mean there aren't, but I haven't. So that, right. Your mileage may vary.
Yep. And I'm in the same camp you are, Dave. I have not had problems. And just to add a little more clarity to my whole setup here, I am not using ScanSnap.
Right. Neither am I. Correct. Correct.
And neither am I.
So if all goes well, we hopefully won't have to deal with any data loss in PDFs.
Yes, but some of our readers and listeners might.
Right.
So it's good that Fujitsu has been updating people as they learn more information. The bullet points that I mentioned are relevant for some people. There's some, you know, a couple of issues with scanning stuff when you're doing business card scanning. I mean, like I said, they're more like bug fixes than the real big problem. And the real big problem is that some documents will have quote unquote irreversible data loss.
Sure. And the color change that you mentioned, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, I don't see that as a big deal. But on the other hand, if you have created a PDF that's just text, and that text needs to remain really sharp and clear, converting to color in some situations could make that text a little blurry.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, for folks who are just doing they've got receipts or something that they've scanned, because this does, you know, these are mostly scanned stuff. But if you're using if you did any of this from the standpoint of like graphics or art, and you've saved in the black and white format, it could definitely be a problem.
Sure. Yeah. And basically what would happen is that your black text turns from black to a built black, which means that instead of being just black, it's cyan, magenta, yellow, all laid on top of each other. And when you print, that's how it would print, and your text can look a little blurry or muddy.
Right. And again, this affects scans. Not necessarily all PDFs, so I don't know. We are keeping our eyes on the ScanSnap site, and we're in contact with people at the company.
Right. And so when we know more, of course, we'll pass it on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the other thing that I wanted to talk about, this is going back to last week. And so at the end of the week, we talked about HomeKit and the problems that I'm having. And I got on my soapbox for a few minutes about how I can't even access my HomeKit devices remotely anymore, and that I was going to have to pull out a HomeKit switch and put a Wemo switch back in for my air conditioner, which, by the way, I actually did, and not out of anger or spite, but out of necessity. I have more information about that now, because I spent some time on the phone with Apple, and what I learned is that the problem that I am having is that I have not switched from two-step to two-factor authentication. And that's a thing that you can do in iOS 10 and macOS Sierra that works a little bit different, but pretty similar to the way two-step authentication has worked that we've had for a while.
Making it all the more confusing, by the way.
Yeah, well, the names are very confusing. When I was talking with people at Apple, they were getting confused at times about which was the new thing and which was the old thing. And they'd be like, wait, stop. I have to go double check this real quick. And they come back and they'd be like, okay, yes, it's two-factor that's new and two-step is old. And they should have come up with different names. But anyhow, so...
Well, yeah.
This is the company that named their word processor Pages.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just pointing that out.
It's also the same company that named a computer and an ebook selling service iBook.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And then there's iPod and iPad. We could probably go on for a while.
We right. could.
But what did, yeah, tell us what you learned, Jeff. Yeah.
Okay. So what I learned is that you have to use two-factor instead of two-step authentication for your iCloud Apple ID login. And when you do that, that will then enable the ability to remotely control and access your HomeKit devices through your fourth generation Apple TV.
It also allows you to unlock your Mac. It's also required for unlocking your Mac with your Apple Watch.
Correct. Correct. So there are places where Apple is already making this a mandatory thing. So it's one of those things that if you haven't switched from two-step to two-factor authentication and you want to continue using Apple services in the future, you're going to have to make that step. So just be prepared. And you'll have to turn off two-step before you turn on two-factor. You can't enable one on top of the other. So there's another problem, though.
Well, hang on. Okay. Because I'm usually pretty good with this stuff, and I'm lost. So help me understand which one am I using? Like, seriously, how do I know what I'm using and what I need to change to?
Okay, I think the easiest way to tell what you are using is actually to go to the Apple website for checking your Apple ID.
So that's, I think, appleid.apple.com.
Yes, yep. I believe you're right.
Okay.
When you log into your account, you can look at your account settings. You get this big, long list that tells you all kinds of stuff about how you've configured your Apple ID. One of the things that will be listed is security. And it will tell you in that section if you are using two-step authentication. And if you are...
It specifically tells you what kind of security you have set up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on two-step. Even though when I logged in just now, it asked me, hey, we need to send a code to your iPhone or your whatever.
That is part of the old two-step system.
Yes. So we're not talking like Texas two-step here.
No. Okay. We're talking about the thing where you log in to something with your Apple ID, and then you get a four-digit code that shows up on your iPhone, and you type.
So that's not two-factor. That's two-step.
That's two-step.
Okay.
Yes.
And if I turn, so what would the difference be? Like, I'm going to go turn this off and turn on two-factor, and this is going to be some crazy process that I have to go through. Yeah.
Yes. And what happens with the process is that you then verify specific devices that are linked to your Apple ID as the devices that can receive your codes that you would need to complete a login authentication process.
But that's the same thing that I did for two-step, just to be clear, or at least as a user, I feel like that's the same thing I did.
But now it's going to look a little different.
Oh, great.
Yeah, now you get a six-digit code instead of a four-digit code.
And it now comes with a different interface.
And now instead of sending the code to your devices that all support getting text messages,
you're picking
specific devices.
Well, I was picking specific devices here. I mean, I could have had it send me a text message, but I chose to just have it send it to my iPhone 7, right? And it just appeared there. It didn't. In fact, a text message would have been smarter because then it would have appeared and I could have copied and pasted the number in.
Right. And my guess is most people have two-step authentication set up, so it just sends out the text message.
Yeah.
And in my case, that means it shows up on my iPhone, my iPad, and my Mac at the same time. So I just see it on all my devices.
So am I going to run into any problems when I turn off two-step? Like, are things that used to work before, like, is it going to totally blow away all my Apple Pay? Or, like, what happens?
No, it won't
do that. But if you have third-party apps that required one of the special two-step authentication passwords that you had to create.
App-specific passwords, yeah.
Thank you, app-specific passwords. Those get blown away, and now you have new passwords.
So I have to create more app-specific passwords. It's not like anything changes other than those specific passwords.
Right.
Oh, and, that's awesome.
And you will be asked to set up immediately. As soon as you turn off two-step authentication, you'll be asked to set up the completely useless security questions.
Even if you've already set them up.
Even if you've already set them up in the past. Right. So when you
this is like Apple saying, we had this thing that was our version of two-factor in the past, and now we're doing a different version of two-factor, and so you need to completely abandon what you were doing before and do this new thing with us. Otherwise, you can't use our new features. Is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, so like Mobile Me versus iCloud all over again.
Yeah, sure. All right, that's pretty close. Yeah.
I mean, this is typical behavior of Apple, I'm a little frustrated because obviously I have to go through this little, you know, busy work, I'll call it. But it's fine and I'll do it. But this is typical of Apple. They really don't care about the past, right? They honestly don't care as much about older customers as they do about new/current customers. And this is yet another, and I don't say this in a judgmental sense or even a derogatory sense, I just say it that it's obvious that this just is.
I think this is important for all of us to understand. All of us who consider ourselves Apple fans. This is an aspect of Apple that I feel like a lot of us have lived in denial for a very long time. It's important to recognize this. Apple has no loyalty. Doesn't have no loyalty. You know, Apple is not interested in what you did for Apple yesterday, or you know, let alone 10 years ago.
Right.
Apple is only concerned about what you're going to do for Apple tomorrow. This is like I think one of the biggest Steve-isms that has continued at Apple in his absence.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
There's one more thing about this change.
I'm taking a picture of my answers to my security questions, and I'm going to put that in 1Password for anybody that ever wants to break into my 1Password vault. So there you go.
Awesome.
Excellent. One of the other changes is that when you get that note, the pop-up on the specific device that you sent it to, it will include a map with the location of that device. The location of the device making the request.
Sure.
That is actually probably a pretty cool deal.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, so it may hopefully keep people from blindly just, you know, clicking okay or something. Because you also have to click a done button too.
Okay.
In this process. I mean, it's once you do it.
Oh, then it's not easy.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be fine. The process is a little bit confusing, in part simply because of the terminology. But most of our listeners and readers will probably be able to get through it just fine.
Yeah.
When you say most, there's a very frustrated subset that cannot. And that's the other aspect for this. Apple has pushed us forward into two-factor authentication and required it, but they have a very serious bug with Apple IDs that prevents some people from enabling two-factor authentication.
Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and you'll get a dialogue that says two-factor authentication is not available for your Apple ID at this time.
All right, well, hang on, though. I have a question for you, because I'm doing this in real time, and I know our listeners are going to do this. So now I've turned it off, and instantly my iMac says, we can't log into iCloud on your behalf. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're great. That's awesome. Because presumably all the tokens have been refreshed. And that's great. And now I'm back on my Apple ID security page, and it asked me if I want to turn on two-step authentication again.
Don't do it.
Right. So where do I turn on two-factor?
Dave, you may be in the same boat I am. Dave, here's the way you can test that. Go to the iCloud System Preferences pane.
Mm-hmm.
On your Mac.
I'm still on an El Capitan machine here because I don't upgrade my podcasting machine right away.
That's okay.
Okay.
Go into System Preferences and then go to the iCloud Preference pane.
I'm there.
And then
you can click on account
details.
Yes. Okay.
And I'm following along with you.
Yeah.
And whoops, I can't type.
No, but I can.
Okay. So now you'll have to click on the security tab.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the bottom of the security tab, set up two-factor authentication.
So I have to do it from here. All right. Well, see, that's why I wanted to go through this, because this is not clear, right? I go to one place to turn off two-step. I have to go to completely other place to turn on two-factor.
Well, Dave, here's the thing. You should be able to do it from the web interface. The fact that you can't tells me that you and I may be in the same boat, where our Apple IDs are screwed up in some way in Apple's system where we can't do it. So go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. Do you use a Mac.com Apple ID? Or do you use an iCloud.com Apple ID?
Mac.com, but it updated to iCloud.com.
Yeah. Well, we all updated, right? Yeah. But I log in with a Mac.com ID.
And I log in with a Mac.com ID as well.
So, I do too, though.
And you didn't have this problem.
I did not have this problem. In fact, everything went swimmingly fine for me, so I'm really not interested in your drama.
No, I'm sure you're not.
But okay, so Dave, when you click set up two-factor authentication, it should bring down a pane that either lets you do it or tells you that you can't. And my guess is that since you didn't see the option on the website, that you can't set up two-factor authentication on your Apple ID.
Well, mine's telling me I can turn it on, but I have some devices that aren't ready because I have an iPad 1 still connected to my account. And it's saying that if you have a device that's not using iOS 9 or El Capitan or later, you will have to add a 6-digit verification code to the end of your password when logging in.
All right. So at least Apple has a workaround for the devices that can't directly support two-factor authentication. Okay, so it sounds to me like you don't have the problem I do. And since I can't actually enable two-factor authentication on my account, that means that I no longer have remote access to my HomeKit devices until such time as Apple figures out what the problem is and fixes it. They told me they are working on it. But that's all we know. Awesome.
That's fantastic.
Right.
Well, I mean, I like the fact that Apple has the HomeKit situation so well in hand.
Yeah. don't get me started about Alexa again, Brian.
You know, I did buy an Alexa.
Same.
I pre-ordered it.
And
yes, I know that I can't use Alexa to remotely control my devices, but right now it doesn't matter because I can't remotely control my devices anyhow, unless I fall back on the device-specific apps, like the Hue app, the Wemo app, and the Echo Bee app, things like that.
Sure.
And so I actually switched back to my old-school setup over the weekend, where I have Wemo switches plugged into the air conditioners. And I have if this, then that talking to the switches and my Echo Bee to get the interior temperature. And
sure.
That's how my air conditioners run now, which worked fine. And now I'm back to that. And I'll just stay there until Apple sorts out the Apple ID thing.
All right. Well, this is good. Yeah. So I was able to get it going, in theory, and we'll see what happens. And I can see a list of all my devices. And
now it's just Jeff's drama.
Now it's just Jeff's. Yeah, whatever you're talking about, Jeff, is irrelevant. This doesn't matter to us anymore. Dude.
Right.
Yep. We're good to go.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're out of time.
Maybe our listeners can let us know if they've had any problems.
Yes, I'm curious. If my drama is your drama, listeners, let me know. You can shoot me messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me emails, observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I will be checking all of those places to see if anyone else is suffering from my problem.
One last note, a little preview, probably sneak preview from something that'll come later this week. You're going to probably need to make this change at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So think about doing it, getting it done and out of the way.
Right. And if nothing else, you'll at least know if you can move to two-factor authentication or if you have to wait for Apple to fix the problem. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm glad my drama is not your drama, because now you guys can actually play around with two-factor authentication, and you can be my guide when I can finally do it.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, hey, Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Clearly Dave's pleasure.
Clearly. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.